is Human Rights Radio News, a new program replacing Amnesty International's monthly human rights report. I'm Asia Philbin. In today's world, we see news and advertisements promoting good health in many forms: diet, exercise, medicine, sleep, even mental health. We also face new health issues: drugs, AIDS, and bioterrorism. We will look at the subject of world health today, including some of these new issues and what they have to do with human rights. But first, here is a special report on human rights news. Over the past few months, human rights violations in Israel and the West Bank have increased drastically. Perpetrators primarily include the Israeli Defense Forces, or IDF, and armed Palestinian groups. These groups are all known to deliberately target civilians using lethal force in situations where lives are not in danger, even before recent events. Israel is party to the Fourth Geneva Convention relative to the protection of civilian persons in times of war, which defines rules for occupying powers. Observers point out that the peace process in the occupied territories was not finished, but this does not affect the relevance of the convention. Israeli parliamentary adviser Sar Osarovitz denies that Israel is violating the convention rules, saying that Israel has made a conscious effort to minimize civilian casualties. However, Amnesty International delegates reported widespread violence against Palestinians by the Israeli army with no obvious military purpose. Israel appears to violate several international treaties. For example, Articles 33 and 53 of the Fourth Geneva Convention prohibit destroying property, pillaging, reprisals, and collective punishment, but Israeli forces have been observed destroying Palestinian homes without determining if they were actual military targets. This destruction, along with acts of torture, may be in violation of Article 16 of the United Nations Convention Against Torture and Other Cruel, Inhuman, and Degrading Treatment or Punishment, which Israel ratified in 1991. Arrest of Palestinians typically includes cruel and degrading treatment. Additionally, IDF forces killed bystanders and targeted Palestinian civilians during incursions on March 11th and 12th. Israel, as an occupying force, may not deport civilians or punish them for offenses that they did not personally commit. Meanwhile, Human Rights Watch reports that people detained by the Palestinian Authority are routinely subject to torture and denied fair trials. They seem to violate human rights with impunity, as critics are frequently harassed or even physically attacked. In general, international law prohibits targeting civilians during an attack. This law applies to the Israeli government, but also applies to armed Palestinian groups, including Palestinians acting as individuals. Israel claims to have found a document proving that the Palestinian Authority financially supported bomb-making by individuals, linking the authority to these crimes. The Fourth Geneva Convention also requires protection of medical personnel. Israel authorities have consistently violated medical neutrality by denying access to ambulances or by using gunfire against medical personnel, killing several doctors, paramedics, and nurses. The IDF says that ambulances were used to transfer weapons, citing an incident in which Israeli soldiers found an explosive device while searching a Palestinian Red Crescent Society, or PRCS, ambulance. Medical organizations consistently deny these accusations. The PRCS president claims that the device was planted. Palestinian groups also violated medical neutrality when a suicide bomber attacked an Israeli emergency medical service station in March. Human Rights Watch met with an IDF legal advisor regarding the use of Palestinians as human shields by Israeli troops in violation of humanitarian law. Following this meeting, the IDF issued an order prohibiting this activity. Human Rights Watch continues to monitor the situation. And that's human rights news. Next, Jesse Bangu will talk about world health and human rights. I'm Asia Philbin.
This is Human Rights Radio News. I'm Jesse Bangu. Standards for health only came about in the early 1900s, and most health laws emphasized sanitation. By 1946, health had been recognized as a basic human right, and the World Health Organization began. More recently, the focus has moved to health education. With our improved data technology, we have unprecedented access to timely health information. And now, there's a new emphasis on global health and infectious diseases, particularly HIV/AIDS, malaria, and tuberculosis. The World Health Organization currently highlights three main target areas: prevention, reducing the price of medicine, and reducing poverty in general. The United States has been the center of recent health controversy and are even accused of hindering the goal of world health. The Bush administration has objected to a United Nations Declaration on Children's Rights, particularly a pledge it contains to guarantee reproductive and mental health services to teenagers under the age of 18. They also object to sex education and pregnancy avoidance for adolescents. The Vatican and Islamic countries support the U.S. position. Opposing the U.S., the European Union and many health experts encourage condom use for young people in AIDS-stricken countries. President Bush supports abstinence programs instead. Health organizations fear that the United Nations may soften its position on health education to appease the U.S. and retain its support. According to the Guardian newspaper, the U.S. proposal would prevent health educators from openly discussing contraception. Previously, the U.S. had cut back use of RU486, also known as mifepristone, and halted funding to charities that give advice regarding abortion. Many gynecologists do not offer mifepristone to their patients for a variety of reasons. Mainly, patients do not ask for it. But according to CNS News, doctors also report adverse side effects such as nausea, bleeding, or even life-threatening blood clots or infection. Abortion supporters, however, claim the drug is relatively safe and that the side effects may not be related to the use of RU486, citing evidence from years of use in Europe. The U.S. stance could have serious negative health effects, given that every minute around the world, 5 people under the age of 25 are infected with HIV. The U.S. was also subject of controversy over AIDS medication. U.S. drug companies sued Brazil over patent violations on AIDS drugs when they wanted to create a generic version. Brazil needed the medicine, but the high price of the name brand version kept it out of reach of those who needed it the most. When South Africa threatened to do the same, these same companies relented and reduced the price. Arizona Congressman Jim Colby defended the high price of name brand prescription drugs, citing the high cost of pharmaceutical research and development that he claims makes over 2/3 of all new drugs unprofitable. Overall, however, drug companies make larger profits than other industry segments. Colby continued, saying that countries which regulate drug prices suffer health disadvantages as a result. But interestingly, he supported importing pharmaceuticals from these same countries to reduce the cost to Americans. But as bad as the AIDS situation is, an even greater health risk shows more problems with health policies: tobacco. The U.S. promotes anti-smoking campaigns at home, but simultaneously promotes cigarette sales overseas, even subsidizing tobacco advertisements. The Director General of the World Health Organization, or WHO, Dr. Gro Harlem Brundtland, blamed tobacco as possibly the single major disease problem of this century. She criticized tobacco companies' advertisements that target young people, characterizing this as a violation of the rights of the child. The World Health Organization specifically criticized tobacco companies that sponsor sporting events, manipulating images of healthy athletes and personal freedom to market a dangerous product. In general, regarding children's human rights, she pointed to the underlying problem when she said, quote, "There will be an unfinished agenda for human rights as long as children are born in utmost poverty." In the poor South African nations, food shortages combine with HIV to threaten the survival of entire communities. Incidentally, some countries faced even worse problems with stringent economic policies enforced by the International Monetary Fund that required raising food prices. This made a dire situation even worse to the people who could least afford it. Dr. Brundtland described the problem of equal access to good health as a human rights problem that is also a health problem. These comments came 4 years ago when she commemorated the 50th anniversary of the signing of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. She also went into detail on human rights problems that are linked to health issues, such as discrimination, lack of personal freedom, and most directly, physical violence, such as torture. That was in 1998. Today, the situation, unfortunately, remains very much the same. And now, we face problems with health, such as recent threats of bioterrorism. The American Public Health Association issued several goals for a national bioterrorism plan, including human rights provisions. They recommend that any plan should protect civil rights, human rights, and civil liberties of all people, Americans and others as well. We've already seen this principle violated when the U.S. military detained an American citizen, Abdullah al-Mujahir, without charging him with any crime. Al-Mujahir is allegedly a bioterror threat to the United States. The United States government claims that he's associated with a military enemy of the country, and as such, is subject to the jurisdiction of a military tribunal as an enemy combatant. However, the lack of evidence against him has led to his lawyer asking for a writ of habeas corpus, which defends the right of a person against being held without a charge. The lawyer, Donna Newman, complained that the information on which al-Mujahir was detained has unknown credibility, reliability, and value. Executive Director of Human Rights Watch, Kenneth Roth, expressed concern that the U.S. President has assumed unlimited power against individuals simply by labeling them as terrorists, without having to produce evidence to support the charge. The dispute may go to the U.S. Supreme Court before it is resolved. More recently, on June 10th, U.S. President Bush signed a new bioterrorism bill. While the bill focused mostly on medical items, there are concerns over the roles of the FBI and CIA with respect to the new Office of Homeland Security, which would have access to their information but no authority over them. Wording of the bill is vague, so details are still being discussed, but restrictions on civil liberties are expected to generate controversy. This has been Human Rights Radio News. I'm Jesse Bangu. We just